Hi, hello, Wiffle Nation, and welcome to a Wiffle Juice presentation called Sippin' Coffee with Bert. Today's episode, episode 10, Connecticut Wiffle Ball League. I'm your host, Carl Coffee. With me once again is my co-host, Skylar Bert. What's up, Skylar?
Carl, what's going on, brother? We're back at it.
It's good to have you back, Skylar. Last time we didn't have you, I had to have a fill-in co-host. I missed you dearly. You been good?
Oh, I've been good, man. It's been working a crap ton. That's why I missed last time, I think. I think last time I got home, like, right when y'all were recording, and I was just like, I got to get up early. I'm going to bed.
Understandable. We're going to keep this simple this year. Non-Holy Commute months, we'll do at least one show that month. We can't fail that way. And we're going to mostly kind of reach out to these newer kind of leagues. Connecticut Wiffle Ball League, we're going to have two guys on later. And they're an upstart league out of the great state of Connecticut, the Wiffle State. I didn't know if you know that. They make wiffle balls in Connecticut, so it should be a good show. But before that, we have two things to do. We're going to talk about your new league, but even before that, it's March. Not everyone's playing, but there are some people playing. There's people playing in Texas, Las Vegas, Florida. So do you have a Super Sip stat of the week? The Super Sip stat of the week.
I do have a Super Sip stat of the week for you, Carl. And it's a little wiffle madness down here in New Braunfels. We'll touch on the league here in a second, like you said. But a Texas legend's playing out there, Rick Sperling. Opening day, we played four games. Sperling took me deep, personally, four times and hit another home run that day, leading our league with five home runs. The next closest has one home run. He also leads the league now in wins. He's 3-0 and an ERA of 2.5.
I know that name. So if I've heard of his name, he's a legend. How old is he?
Sperling? Oh, dude. I think he's late 40s.
Wow.
I don't really know Sperling's age. I just play with him. He's a great guy. If you ever get a chance to come to Texas and play in Cedar Park or play in New Braunfels or anything like that, and Rick's there, you got to talk to Rick. He's a genius in wiffle ball.
I like Texas wiffle ball, especially now. I've been doing this show with you. We're not episode 10. Tim Dean's he's a wiffle superstar right now. Texas wiffle ball's never been hotter. And you have a new league, and you have 90 seconds to plug it. I don't want you to go past 90 seconds. You get 90 seconds or less. You ready?
Put me on the buzzer.
Go.
All right, we got a new league, a new Braunfels, Texas, out here playing at my apartment complex. We got three teams, the Southern Skid Steers, the Pacific Pipeliners, and Downtown Boogie. Right now, we meet once a month, play four games, four-inning games. Cedar Park rules, basically, with a couple other adjustments for our stuff. We don't like to run as much, so really there's a dead ball in front of the pitcher's mound and some rules with that, that if you want to come out and play, I'll explain longer. It's going to take longer than 90 seconds. Okay. Hopefully to wrap this season up in July, have our postseason in August, start up our next season after that, maybe expand to our fourth team. But for now, we're going to keep it small, keep it simple, and see what happens.
All right, not a lot of wiffle ball shows lately, but out of nowhere, I did a show about the lifespan of wiffle ball leagues. Did you get a chance to listen to it?
I did.
And the first stage I always thought was kind of exciting, kind of fun, because it's the Wild West, and you live in the Wild West. So anything kind of goes. There's such loose rules. You're just kind of getting a feel out of the people and of the rules and everything. And if you're not having fun in the first stage, just stop. So are you having fun?
Oh, dude, we're having a blast. You want to talk about a bunch of grown men acting like kids, drinking beer, playing wiffle ball. That's what New Braunfels wiffle ball is. Everything about us is very relaxed, very chill. But it's also, there's some competitive nature out there. But the coolest thing about us, minus the net, the wiffle balls, right? Everything else we've made. That we use Bert's bats out there or other forms of bats that have been modified by someone else. Wattabat, walk-off, all those guys. Bert? Our foul poles, We constructed out of scrap metal that I got from a demo job. Our strike zone, we constructed out of material that we got from a demo job. Our plate, Rick's had that plate for like 15 years. Kind of thing. So if you come out there, it's a very different look too. I mean, we got a string line from a fence to a wrought iron fence, and then, you know, for right field, left field, it's a string line to the center field wrought iron fence with our foul pulls up, and we just kind of play like that.
Listen, I was still in my 20s last time I ex- experienced that first stage of a brand new football league. It was a long time ago, Skyler, but I still remember it. And yeah, you're having fun, but there's still some hard parts. So you have this new league. What are some of the hardest things about it?
Logistics and getting everybody there. When you're playing with three teams, three guys per team, we're kind of building a pool of guys that have interest that we know right now, and we're kind of throwing them on teams as we go in our three teams that we'll cut off at five players per team. But really just trying to get 10 guys, 9 to 10 guys out there, or even 6 to 9 guys out there with everybody's schedule. You know, some guys got kids, some guys got just got married, about to get married, just had a baby, you know, daughter's going to college, they're still in college. I mean, we got all different ranges out there too, so getting that, you know, coordinating everybody to be able to be there is probably the hardest damn part.
Now, we're not gonna, we don't have to get into the finite details of Texas Wiffleball and the reasons why you don't see a lot of very long-running leagues. It seems like it's better on tournaments. Maybe it's because everyone lives far from each other and it's better just to get together every 2 weeks or every month or so. But from an outsider's perspective, that seems to what be that thrives in this state, just kind of like a tournament circuit. So you have an actual league. Do you think it has long-standing potential?
I do. There's some things going on behind the scenes that I don't want to bring up yet that could be taking place over this next 18 months, hopefully. But to kind of hint at where this could be going is this could look like Cedar Park down here, potentially ran through and potentially growing this league into maybe another one or splitting or having tournaments, but having it through the city and helping them develop that.
You know, you're Burt's Bats, and I kind of checked the Burt's Bats Twitter. I'm disappointed. You guys still doing things? You have been quiet. You got to pump out a little bit more tweets, man. What's going on?
I'm bad on Twitter, on the tweeter, not going to lie. Instagram, a little bit better. My wife tells me that. I tell myself that. I got to get back on the social media game. Got to get back on all that stuff because we do have a bunch of new products coming out in Burt's Bats that we will be releasing this year, like a wood bat. We're now going to be offering, like I said earlier, the foul poles, the strike zones. We do have wiffle balls, too, available, plus all our bats, our hats, our shirts, or whatever the hell else we sell. We sell basically anything you need for wiffle ball. So we do have a lot of stuff going on. Hopefully to post all that, but just to keep everybody updated with what's going on, that is what's going on behind the scenes.
Skyler Burt, 26 years old, but he's an old soul, not a social media guy. You know, that's rare for your generation. You know that, right?
I'm terrible. I mean, I'll get on social media and, like, watch, like wiffle ball stuff or, like, the little TikTok stuff that's on Facebook and Instagram. I don't have a TikTok, but whatever they call them on there, I'll watch that stuff, but yeah, I don't really care for social media that much. It's kind of a bad thing though when you're trying to run a damn company that's basically ships every freaking thing, and you're over here like, ah, shit, what do I post? How do I post this? Or I get to go on and I'm like, dude, I just don't like that. Like, I'll spend like 3 hours making an image and I'll be like, that just looks like hammered dog shit, and I'll be like, and start over.
All right, listen, our next segment. You make me feel old, but these next guys are going to probably make you feel old. The Connecticut Wiffle Ball League, Ben Fiore, the commissioner, and Connor DaCosta, even younger than you. They're in college. They're doing great things out of Connecticut. I'm excited to have them on. They're next. All right, we have on the line Ben Fiore and Connor DaCosta from the Connecticut Wiffleball League. Ben is the commissioner. Connor's just one heck of a player. Let's dive right in. Guys, you have a league in the Wiffle State, Connecticut. They make the Wiffleball there. Your socials, top-notch. Website, great. Always updated. Looks great. Young and enthusiastic player base. So quite frankly, I think you should be more popular. Do you agree?
Carl, thank you for having us on this evening. It's really awesome to be on talking to you guys. Regards to your question, I think with our location and everything that we have being in like the center of where wiffle ball was started back in the day, you would think that our league would be up to a state where we would be right up there with some of the bigger leagues out there in our region. But in all honesty, we are still a young league. We only started this league back in 2019 and only have two seasons under our belt, one of which was in a COVID year, and the other one was a bit more compromised. So I think if given experience and given a bit more time, I think that the potential is there with some of the things we have available to us. But I think for the moment, right now, it's all right where it is. But I think time will tell to see where we can get there.
Yeah, I can agree with you there. I mean, let's be real. I mean, the majority of the leagues that we have here in Connecticut are just the typical backyard leagues that don't really have that same enthusiasm as, realistically, our league. And I fear sometimes that the backyard leagues in our state kind of have even more of a fan base than ours do, because, I mean, I don't know the reason. It makes no sense to me why we aren't more popular, but I guess we'll just have to we'll have to kind of see where things go, because I think we can really get to a point where we're really the most popular league in the state, if not even the region. So,
all right, strong assumptions right there. I like it. After seeing what y'all are doing, I could definitely see that. Right now, y'all got three teams going in for 2022. What's the goal for the season, team-wise, whatnot? And how are you trying to grow? Where do you want to be? How many teams are you going to cap it at a point? Are you just going to keep bringing in teams and figuring out where to put fields? Like, well, what's the plan?
So for this year, we're hoping to get around the 6-team mark. For last year and the last 2 years, we played it for three teams for 2020, and then for last year, we had four. So we're trying to do a little bit of a small expansion this year and get up to six. And a lot of those teams, at least in the preemptive planning phase, are actually going to come from some of the backyard leagues within our own state. In some of like the southern parts of our state, there are a bunch of leagues that we've been in talks with for a long time now, such as the Darien Wiffle Ball League, Compo Wiffle Ball League as well. Some of those guys have some really good players that play in some local tournaments and some regional tournaments. So we definitely want to get them involved and playing, probably get their first experiences playing more of a competitive fast pitch format. So the goal is to get them in there, and then from there, try to see what they got.
Ben Fiore, Commissioner of the Connecticut Wiffle Ball League. Listen, before I ask this question, you named your league the Connecticut Wiffle Ball League. That's pretty ambitious. You know, he's not saying, I don't want to name my city, my region, my county. He's naming his league the Connecticut Wiffle Ball League. So this guy's confident, and he's so confident because one of the reasons is his rule book. Yeah, I know, I'm a nerd. I love rule books. And when I first study a league, it's one of the first things I go to. And you can tell a lot about a league by a rule book. And it is the number one in my 17 years of really being involved in this sport. The number one most thorough rule book I've ever seen, Ben. So let's talk about your basic rules. You're in the New England, so I can make assumptions about your rules, but you can tell them. And how did you decide to use them?
Yeah, so for the rule book, when we started this a couple of years ago, what we were looking to do, we decided that we wanted to do a fast pitch league, something more along the big barrel side. A lot of that was because I had a bunch of inspirations from the classic wiffle ball league, the Palisades WBL.
Ooh, I love
up
it.
In New York.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolute awesome league. I remember growing up watching this month in wiffle ball a bunch of times and getting to watch them. I'm like, I wonder if we could take a backyard atmosphere of people, I guess in that range, that competitive skill level, and get them into play fast pitch big barrel for the first time. So when I created the rule book, I went to their website, took a look at their rules, and basically took them down for what we were going to do at first and made a couple of changes just to make it a bit more, I guess, casual or newcomer friendly for those who haven't played the format before, because it's so much different from playing just backyard style as you might see with MLW or something else. So we made it like that to make it a bit more user friendly. But then as the years have come on over the first year or two that we played, we started to get guys a bit more of a skill level. And having more of those guys, we've been able to start to up the ante a little bit and take away some of those newcomer rules to play more of the regular format too. So we've had a lot of those rules, and then in the last year or two, there's been the rise of the more regional national formats with the likes of MAW, Mid-Atlantic, and with United Wiffle in the last two years. So as that started to change the fast pitch game a lot in leagues in our region and throughout, we started to adopt those rules so that if people want to play outside of our league and want to play eventually in those regional or national events, that they have the ability to just go right in and know what to do from that point. So we do a lot of our rule book, and a lot of our league comes down to just being a feeder into going from the backyard into more of the competitive format that is often seen a lot in New England and is starting to take over with the fast pitch game.
Traveling around to tournaments is a great way to get your name out there, meet people, get connections, networking. Wiffle ball is a huge network. Once you get plugged in, you can't stop, kind of thing. And knowing people is a great thing to know. Do y'all have any plans on traveling this year, playing in some tournaments, doing some stuff like that? Or y'all just going to stay focused right now, get the league going, get that thing squared away, and then shift gears later, maybe next year?
Yeah. I think even when we started this back in 2019 and 2020, I think I just covered when I was talking about the rule book that we wanted to see guys from the backyard level into more of the competitive formats like the MAWs and the UFs. In the last year, we've exposed to a bunch of guys who've upped their talent a lot and have come in with a lot of talent that we could maybe to the point think of, hey, we could throw a couple of guys together and maybe entertain the idea of going to some more regional events. I've been in talks with Connor all off season and some of our players. It's far from official. It's still very much in the very early phase, but we definitely had some talks about possibly going into a MAW event this year or even attacking the UF circuit for 2022.
Nice.
It's certainly very ambitious considering that outside of our league, we have very little in the way of competitive experience, but I think it's going to help us get more popular and get the brand out there and also get these guys into playing more of the competitive format for the first time to expose them. That'll be a great opportunity to grow the league and to do a lot of things for us as players. So if given the opportunity, if there are five Mies out there, I would totally do it in a heartbeat. I think it's certainly is a way to get into the community and get into the competitive aspects. So I think even though we haven't done it in the past, it's certainly on our minds for this year. And hopefully if things go well, that you possibly see a team or two from us.
You said something that really hit home. If there was five Mies out there, you know, you said it would be no problem. So, you know, having an all-star team, having a core, you know, 4 to 6 man crew of guys who travel, that's what you really need. So do you think you have the number? I know both of you guys on this show are hardcore, but is there two or three more of you guys in the league that are willing to travel?
As of right now, I think obviously Ben and I are the top tier as far as the most dedicated to our league. But when it comes down to things, it is a little bit shaky right now because we have, obviously, you have that dedication across the league, but I wouldn't be so sure that everyone is nearly as dedicated as myself and Ben, simply because, I mean, like Ben kind of alluded to, we're taking the majority of our teams, they're coming from the backyard spectrum, and they don't know the wide variety of wiffle ball that's out there across the nation. So when we look at the tournaments that are even just in our region, we don't have our own tournament or official tournament here in Connecticut, which is honestly kind of surprising to me, considering after all, the wiffle ball comes from here. So the nearest tournaments are in Massachusetts and New York and up in Vermont. But at the same time, I don't know if there's really as much dedication when it comes down to everything that we do to get our league up to the highest standard that we wanted to get it up to.
I think definitely he brings up some good points. It's also a lot with the players that having the drawing from this more casual backyard audience, a lot of them are middle school, high school, college guys. And a lot of them during the summertime really can only make time to really to play our league. So getting them to commit additionally to weekends, playing away, hours away, on top of what we're already doing can be a bit more difficult. So I know we have guys that certainly are in the mix for that. We're currently looking at that, a lot of options for that. But if we are able to grab the guys and able to make things work, I would totally be down for that. It's just maybe getting those guys that we want, the five, six guys that we really know that can give the league its best effort and its best show. It might be a bit more difficult. So hoping that over the next couple of weeks and months, we can work out a team that we can be proud of to send.
You know, it's a touchy situation, and here's why. You're a young league. You're in your third year. You want to grow your league first. And
exactly.
If you put out an all-star team to go to these tournaments and you just embarrass yourselves, you're like, well, it just puts a huge black mark on your league. So you have to be careful with it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It almost if you show up there and you kind of don't really know what you're doing, but you're just sending guys up there. If you get absolutely crushed every game you play, it kind of puts a damper on just the overall growth potential of your league. Because if people watch you and you're the laughing stock of the tournament, who's going to want to join your league?
All right, two more questions. One for me, one from Skyler. And Sipping Coffee with Bert, when we started this show, I really wanted to kind of focus on young, new leagues and getting their names out there. We've talked to AWA, NEO, and many more. And it's great to have you guys on. And with that said, you know, you guys are a new league. Year three. So you've got past the early stages. You're growing. So you kind of know the early bumps of a new wiffle ball league. So what are some advice you'd give, Ben, to some people who are serious about starting a brand new wiffle ball league?
I probably wouldn't suggest to them to go down our road exactly. With our league, we're trying to be a bit more big and broad in terms of being a bit more also competitive too, trying to get into a bit more of that competitive fast pitch environment that you see a lot along the East Coast. And for a lot of people playing with balls that move 3 feet and 90 miles an hour right through your face, you know, that's not going to be necessarily for every audience.
Yep.
So I think in our league, in our state, we have the privilege of having so many great backyard leagues with great communities and great players. So for them, I definitely would go down those roads. If you're already at the point where you have players that want to play in the league, you already have that community, at least a base community, that you can build off of. I would totally suggest starting with more of backyard roots, just getting the games in, play more casual format that can get people into it and get people thinking, okay, this is something I can really hook onto. This is something I can really enjoy first. If you get past that point, I think you could definitely explore the point of getting a bit more competitive with it. But even just starting a league, I think you have to get to the point where you're consistent, you play games every week or however way you want to play it, and that you have people who are invested and want to put the time in to make it the best it can. If you have those two things going together, I think any league has a chance for success. And those would be the things I would totally recommend.
That's great advice, Skyler. You got one last question?
All right, last question. Somehow I always end up with these, Carl. But with balls played all across the country, all across the world. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the Wiffle Tigers or Tokyo Wiffle Ball.
Yeah, we've heard of them.
Yeah, but Skyler, let me chime in. There's only one Wiffle State.
That's where I was going.
Oh,
Carl.
Man, let's go.
That's where I was going. But I don't know if I can say there's only one Wiffle State, because there's a lot of Wiffle in Texas, even though Wiffle balls are made in Connecticut. I'll give you that. But is New England, is Connecticut, is it truly the Wiffle Mecca of Wiffle? Is this where the capital of Wiffle ball needs to be?
This is controversial.
I mean, I definitely think it's the Mecca. I mean, it's either the Mecca or it's just the hallowed grounds of Wiffle ball. It's where the game started. It's where it grew. I mean, you got the guys like the MLWs, the guys like the PLWs. Like, they're not even close to here, but they had to have learned the game from someone, learned it from someone else. It goes on and on until you get to the roots, which, of course, here in Connecticut. So, see, I don't think that we really here in New England have the best Wiffle talent. But at the same time, you got the guys that won three times in the United Wiffle. Everyone except for Steffi, of course, is from Connecticut. So you have talent, but I think the talent is pretty evenly spread across the nation. But do I think there is more hidden talent in Connecticut and in New England than any other region in the United States and across the globe? Absolutely. I mean, I think here in New England, Connecticut, more people have played wiffle ball than I think any other state, any other region. So it really goes on and on.
No, I hear where you're coming from. I got one more follow-up question, and I'm done, I promise. But here's my question. Big controversy here. As always, the chicken or the egg? Was it the wiffle ball or the wiffle ball bat that came first?
Oh, man.
That's a tough one. Connor, you want to take on this one?
Oh, God. Why are you doing this to me, Ben? Oh, boy.
I feel like it.
I would say the wiffle ball just because.
Yeah, good answer.
If you got to throw the wiffle ball to someone, and then eventually, I mean, you're going to play catch first, and then, heck, someone's going to get bored, and then they're going to want to make a bat. So
that's exactly how it happened, because they were playing baseball in the front yard and breaking windows.
Yep, exactly right.
All right, listen, I have a question for Ben, and it wasn't on the show sheet, but I started my first wiffle ball league while I was still in college, and you guys are in college. And sometimes you start a league and people are in a certain stage in their lives, and you realize people move on, they get married, they move away, and it gets a little tougher. So you're in the early stages. You said the kind of people you play with, even middle school, high school, college age. So summers are very convenient for you. But I like to think long term, and I hope you guys stick around. I've been around the sport long enough to see so many leagues just fizzle out. So what is your long-term goal with this league?
That's a tough question there. I think there's, with the fact that we are a statewide league, there are definitely a bunch of assets or a bunch of avenues we can go down with it. I think that the main goal of being the Connecticut Football League is basically in the name. It's kind of why the reason why I named it the Connecticut Football League and not, say, like a county or a town name. With this league that we've created, I really wanted to try to make this an organization and just a face and a brand that can grow the game throughout the state to whatever skill level, whatever interest you have, and more so be like this one-stop shop for wiffle ball, at least here in our wiffling state. I know for right now that we focus more on the fast pitch because that's where we want to grow the game where it is right now, because we really don't right now have much of a competitive format. Unless you're willing to travel out of state to play something like a MAW, ECW, a Golden Stick, those other organizations. That doesn't exist, at least when we started this a couple of years ago. And right now, there still isn't really, in our state, nothing that really else is out there in more of a competitive format. So that's where we attacked first. But as we grow this more, we definitely won't want to stay stagnant. We always want to try and grow our audience as much as we can. So I've always toyed the thoughts of trying to get more formats and other type of styles. Maybe try of Golden Stick Yard medium pitch style at some point. Maybe get some more recreational divisions, partner with universities, partner with other organizations, charity tournaments, stuff like that. Really anything that we can get our hands on to help grow the sport wiffle ball and help legitimize it both as a game and as a sport. I guess really from whatever avenue you want, the goal is to just grow wiffle ball and whatever that means to the person. If it gets people in the door loving the game that we love so much and the reason why we started it. So I personally love fast pitch, and it'll probably be my home until my arm blows out at some point. But but I mean, as long as I stay healthy, that's where I want to go. But as I was saying at the top, just trying to grow the game is really the goal of this thing. And hopefully we stay around long enough to stay up to that mission, because it's something I really love to do, and hopefully it stays out there for a long time.
Awesome. Ben and Connor, I'm so glad I had you guys on. And listen, there's some years with my league when I started that we went from 8 teams, and then next year we still had 8 teams. But the quality got better. Building slowly is still building. Building quality. You don't always have to go quantity. You know, don't think, oh, I need a certain amount of teams to be successful. No, just build quality and build slowly. You guys are in such a weird location, and I feel like it's an advantage and both a disadvantage. But I'm going to keep my eyes on you guys, and I really appreciate both of you guys for coming on. So is there anything you guys want to plug?
I guess I'll just plug stuff. If you want to follow our league, you can basically find us anywhere we are, anywhere you can basically turn on a screen or anywhere you can access the internet. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can find us all there at CTWL Wiffle. And then we're also pondering the idea of possibly putting together a YouTube channel to put some highlights from our upcoming season. So you can find us at the Connecticut Wiffle Ball League on there as well, for some highlights and some fun content there. So, and that's what all the plugs I got for us.
Anything you want to plug, my man?
just what I normally plug. Got to give a shout out to my league up there in Chicago, SBL Wiffle. Jacobs Field opening this year. I don't know if opening day is going to be there or what, but Birch Bats is doing a sponsorship with them for one of our buddies that passed away up there. So check them out and check out Birch Bats, I guess.
So for Connecticut Wiffle Ball League, Ben Fiore, Connor DaCosta, of course, my co-host, Skylar Bird. I'm Curl Coffee. You got a topic? You want your league featured? You want to be a guest? DM the Wiffle Juice. So thanks for joining us, guys. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Boom.